Prabhuji asked me to speak something.
And before he does, thank you very much, everyone, for coming. And we may have to fill in some of the space down at the other end. So fill in, make yourself comfortable, if that's possible. And also, tonight we have in the middle unit, we're wired for sound. So if parents who have kids and the kids feel restless and they'd like to run a little bit, there's plenty of space, I think there's some space left, in the middle unit, and it's also, it's wired for sound. So you'll be the judge if the kid starts making a little bit of noise and feels like going out, then go to the middle unit and you can still hear the class. It'll be going on. And also, be aware when others come in. Let's make sure that we greet others when they come in. Give them a space so everyone can be responsible for being aware that others are coming in, and then just give everyone a little space. And as we go throughout the night, just remember that we're looking for a larger place, and anyone here can be helpful and instrumental in that. We've raised some funds so far, and we're looking, but this is all of our temple, and everyone can help in our quest to find a larger temple. So we're going to go on, definitely ready for the middle unit. Doesn't want to leave. Okay, so tonight we're going to go on hearing and chanting about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now Satyadev Prabhu, I've asked him to speak. He's leaving for Japan in a couple of days, and he'll be gone for 3 months. So we're all very sorry he's leaving, because he's an integral part of our ISV community here. And when he goes away, somehow or other we drag on. And when he comes here, then we feel great support. So we're fortunate that he rebooked his ticket, because he was supposed to leave today. But he rebooked it and so that he could be here tonight for the Gorpurnim here at ISV. So let's welcome Satyadev Prabhu.
Somehow I drag on when I leave. This is where I get my life and inspiration. So today I was thinking, well, oftentimes I think, you know, how is it that I'm sitting here? I live in Pacifica. So in the morning I'm sitting here, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping Radha and Krishna. How is this possible? Sometimes, most of the time, I'm just in the routine mode. But every now and then that question pops into my head, and I think, wow, how did this all happen? Or how is it happening? And so I was flipping through the Chaitanya Charitamrita today, and I found the verse that explains it all, really. And it's the first verse in the Madhya Lila, chapter 19. This chapter is about Rupa Goswami when he meets Lord Chaitanya for the second time, actually. First they meet, he and his brother Sanatana, they meet briefly in Ramakeli. And at that time they decide, we're giving up work, we're retiring, and we're joining Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then they began to make plans. So the first verse, it's written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and he says, he's setting the stage for this meeting between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Rupa Goswami. And he says, before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, the Lord enlightened the heart of Lord Brahma with the details of creation and manifested Vedic knowledge within his heart. In exactly the same way, the Lord, being anxious to revive the Vrindavan pastimes of Lord Krishna, impregnated the heart of Rupa Goswami with spiritual potency. By this potency, Srila Rupa Goswami could revive the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan activities almost lost to memory. In this way, he spread Christian consciousness throughout the world. So this was the answer. This happened. We're here in Silicon Valley chanting Hare Krishna because of the mercy and of the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we're particularly worshiping Radhan Krishna. Sometimes people say, you know, why are you worshiping Krishna? Why, what is this Krishna Krishna? Or, you know, why should, you know, why do you pick this incarnation of Vishnu? And it's not easy to worship Radhan Krishna. It takes great mercy to be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, to have a little bit of faith in Lord Krishna. This is all the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's why it's happening. And it's coming through Rupa Goswami. We're called Rupanugas, or followers of Rupa. All the acharyas are coming down in his line, following in the teachings of Rupa Goswami, who was directly inspired within the heart by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to awaken love for Krishna, to revive the places in Vrindavan where Krishna had his pastimes. At that time, everyone had forgotten these pastimes and the places where these pastimes occurred. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he inspired Rupa Goswami. He found these places. He wrote volumes of books along with the other Goswamis about these places. And now we're here worshiping Radha Madan Mohan, chanting Hare Krishna, worshiping Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we can also go to Vrindavan. We can go to Radha Kund. We can go to Govardhan Hill. We can go to Kesi Ghat. We can go see the Jamuna. All of these things because of the mercy only of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it's unimaginable. And it may be even difficult to believe for some of us how this is happening. But also Lord Krishna, you know, he speaks Bhagavad Gita. You know, there are very few, I can't think of any religious literatures where God is directly speaking about himself. And he says, you know, Paratharam Nanyat, you know, that I'm everything. Everything's coming from me. Everything's held together, you know, like pearls, you know, that are held together by a string. They're held together by me. He's saying, surrender unto me, everything comes from me. Directly to Arjuna. He shows the universal form. He shows all of these things. And then in the end he says, surrender unto me. But we, as we were reading, singing this bhajan, it's not so easy to surrender to Lord Krishna. He asks, you know, that we surrender to him, and then he'll give his mercy. So Lord Chaitanya, he doesn't even have that stipulation. He just says, worship Krishna. Bolo Krishna, Bhaja Krishna, Koro Krishna Siksha. Worship Krishna. Follow his teachings. Just take it. Don't speculate about it. Don't contemplate it too much. Just start chanting and everything will be revealed. We have that experience, right? That it's very difficult sometimes for people to understand these literatures even. When they first start reading it, you know, many devotees will tell you that when I first read Bhagavad Gita or when I first read Ishopanishads, I don't know what I read. I didn't really understand very much. But once I started chanting, then gradually I could understand so much. And so through the power of the mantra, through the power of the Hare Krishna mantra, which has been directly, prema has been woven into that mantra by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can begin this chanting and we can begin this worship of Radha and Krishna. We can begin to understand a little bit about Bhagavad Gita and these transcendental literatures. So I just want to read a little bit about this meeting between Rupa Goswami and Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's so moving and touching. And then it will climax in Rupa Goswami's realization of who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and what is his mission. So all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Lord Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Chandra, and all glories to all the devotees of the Lord. After meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the village of Ramakeli, the brothers Rupa and Sanatan returned to their homes. The two brothers devised a means whereby they could give up their material activities. For this purpose, they appointed two Brahmins and paid them a large sum of money. The Brahmins performed religious ceremonies and chanted the holy name of Krishna so that the two brothers might attain shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That was plan one. At that time, Sri Rupa Goswami returned home, taking with him large quantities of riches loaded in boats. Srila Rupa Goswami divided the wealth that he had brought back home. He gave 50% in charity to the Brahmins and Vaishnavas and 25% to his relatives. He kept 1/4 of his wealth with a respectable Brahmin, and he kept this for his personal safety because he was expecting some legal complications. He deposited 10,000 coins, which were later spent by Sanatan Goswami in the custody of the local Bengali grocer. Sri Rupa Goswami heard that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had returned to Jagannath Puri and was preparing to go to Vrindavan through the forest. Rupa Goswami sent two people to Jagannath Puri to find out when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would depart for Vrindavan. Sri Rupa Goswami told the two men, "You are to return quickly and let me know when he will depart. Then I shall make the proper arrangements." While Sanatan Goswami was in Godadesh, he was thinking, "The Nawab is very pleased with me. I certainly have an obligation. If the Nawab somehow or other becomes angry with me, I shall be greatly relieved." That was his conclusion. So he was thinking, you know, "I owe so much to the Nawab. I can't just quit his service. But somehow if he gets angry at me, then I can get out of this mess, this entanglement." On the pretext of bad health, Sanatan Goswami remained home. Thus he gave up government service and did not go to the royal court. The greedy masters of his clerical and secretarial staff performed the government duties while Sanatan personally remained home and discussed the revealed scriptures. Sanatan Goswami used to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of 20 or 30 learned Brahmins. While Sanatan Goswami was studying Srimad Bhagavatam in the assembly of learned Brahmins, one day the Nawab of Bengal and another person suddenly appeared. He caught him. As soon as all the Brahmins and Sanatan saw the Nawab appear, they all stood up and respectfully gave him a sitting place and honored him. The Nawab said, "I sent my physician to you, and he has reported that you are not diseased. As far as he could see, you are completely healthy. You have spoiled all my activities. What is your intention? Please tell me frankly." Sanatan Goswami replied, "You can no longer expect any service from me. Please arrange for someone else to tend to the management." So he was like the prime minister, or like the vice president. So he had a lot of responsibilities. He was the biggest man in Bengal. And he surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Becoming angry with Sanatan Goswami, the Nawab said, "Your elder brother is acting just like a plunderer. By killing many living entities, your elder brother has destroyed all Bengal. Now, here you are destroying all my plans." Sanatan Goswami said, "You are the supreme ruler of Bengal and are completely independent. Whenever someone commits a fault, you punish him accordingly. Hearing this, the Nawab of Bengal stood up and returned to his home. He ordered the arrest of Sanatan Goswami so that he would not be able to leave. At this time, the Nawab was going to attack the province of Orissa, and he told Sanatan, "Why don't you come along with me?" Sanatan Goswami replied, "You are going to Orissa to give pain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, I am powerless to go with you." The Nawab again arrested Sanatan Goswami and kept him in prison. At this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed for Vrindavan, for Jagannath Puri. So when did Lord Chaitanya depart for Vrindavan? Oh, Lord Chaitanya departed for Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. So when did he depart? It's a trick question. He departed right at the time Sanatan Goswami was thrown into prison. Wow. The two persons who went to Jagannath Puri to inquire about the Lord's departure returned and informed Rupa Goswami that the Lord had already departed for Vrindavan. So the messengers have run back. Now they're informing Rupa Goswami, the Lord is now departing for Vrindavan. Upon receiving this message from the two messengers, Rupa Goswami immediately wrote a letter to Sanatan saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had departed for Vrindavan. In this letter, to Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami wrote, "We two brothers are starting out to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You must also somehow or other get released and come meet us." So Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they also had another brother named Anupam, or Sri Balava. And so Sri Balava and Rupa, now they're taking off to Prayag to intercept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and meet him there. "Somehow or other, get yourself released and come to Vrindavan." After writing this, the two brothers, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami...
Just as a reminder, the middle unit is wired for sound and the class is going on there. So if you have kids and they're crying or restless, you can go there and still hear the class. And I don't know what to do about the playground outside.
Prayag is located at the confluence of two rivers. Who knows? Ganga and Yamuna. What special festival happens there? The Kumbh Mela. Has anyone been to the Kumbh Mela? I went to the Maha Kumbh Mela in 1976. It was the Maha Kumbh Mela. It got in the Guinness Book World of Record, actually. And Srila Prabhupada was also there. And we were there for 2 weeks. And it was quite amazing. Anyway, although these rivers are not able to flood Prayag with water, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated the whole area with waves of ecstatic love for Krishna. Seeing the great crowd, the two brothers remained standing in a secluded place. They could see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was ecstatic to see the Lord Bindu Madhava. The Lord was loudly chanting the holy name of Hari. Hari, Hari. Dancing in ecstatic love and raising his arms, he asked everyone to chant, "Hari, Hari." Everyone was astounded to see the greatness of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Can you just imagine? Can't imagine. I cannot properly describe the pastimes of the Lord at Prayag. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had made an acquaintance with a Brahmin from Deccan in South India. And that Brahmin invited him for meals and took him to his place. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting in a solitary place in the home of the Deccan Brahmin, Rupa Goswami and Sri Balava came to meet him. Both brothers were overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion. And reciting various Sanskrit verses, they stood up and fell down again and again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased to see Sri Rupa, and he told him, "Stand up, stand up. My dear Rupa, come here." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "It is not possible to describe Krishna's mercy, for he has delivered both of you from the well of material enjoyment." Lord Krishna said, and now Lord Chaitanya, he's quoting a verse from the 10th canto of the, it's written in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, but Lord Chaitanya says this verse. Lord Krishna said, "Even though a person is a very learned scholar of the Sanskrit Vedic literatures, he is not accepted as my devotee unless he is pure in devotional service. Even though a person is born in a family of dog eaters, he is very dear to me if he is a pure devotee who has no motive to enjoy fruitive activities or mental speculation. Indeed, all respect should be given to him, and whatever he offers should be accepted. Such devotees are as worshipable as I am." After reciting this verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced the two brothers, and out of his causeless mercy, he placed his feet on their heads. Lord Chaitanya placed his feet on the heads of Rupa, Sri Rupa, and Sri Balava. After receiving the Lord's causeless mercy, the two brothers folded their hands and in great humility offered the following prayers. I'm just thinking there are different stories in the Bhagavatam where when the devotees meet the Lord, they can't say anything. They're all choked up. But once the Lord touches them, then they can speak the prayers. Does anyone know who I'm thinking about? What was he touched by?
Conch shell.
By the conch shell. And?
Prahlad.
What was he touched by?
His hand.
Where?
On the head.
Yeah. So, Rupa and Balava were touched by the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then they began to offer these prayers. So, whatever they said is very, very significant. So he says, this is the first thing that came out of Rupa Goswami's mouth after being touched by the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, "Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prima Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Krishna Namaha." O munificent incarnation, you are Krishna himself, appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love for Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. So that says it all. Lord Krishna, he's appeared as a devotee of Krishna, and he's assuming the color of Srimati Radharani because he's in that bhav of Sri Radha's love for Krishna. Once Sanatana Goswami, he was kind of prodding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted to get Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to admit that he was an incarnation of Krishna, or that he was Krishna himself. So he was asking him different ways. You know, how does one know who's an incarnation of the God? You know, why should we accept, for example, why should we accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as an incarnation of God? And so he was prodding him like this. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's answer was, the way you know an incarnation of God is through the Shastras. So he didn't say, you know, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just accept it. You know, he said, it's in the Shastras. So Neelam and Nilesh, the other day, they gave me, they can show it to you, they came up with, there's 30 or 40 verses that are directly from the Shastras, indicating that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the incarnation in this Kali Yuga. There's a couple of verses I know right off the top of my head from the 11th canto. Everyone, or many of you, know these verses. Krishna Varnam Tusa Krishnam Sango Pangasha Parshadam Yagnai Sankirtanaya Yadanta Hisamerisaha. So Srimad Bhagavatam was written 5,000 years ago. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was only here 500 years ago. Oh, it says there that in the Kali Yuga, the Lord will appear, and although he's Krishna, when Krishna is blackish, it says that the Lord, he's not blackish. He's golden in color, and he comes with his weapons, but he's not killing anyone like he does in the other, like in other yugas. His weapon is his beauty. And so by his beauty, and we see there's so many pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, where people, great scholars, they're captivated by his beauty, by his effulgence, by his humility, by his qualities. Then after they're captivated, then he begins to talk to them. One of his strategies. So he appeared with his associates, with the weapon of his beauty, and he's worshipped. How is he worshipped? By the Sankirtan Yajna, by the chanting of the holy names, the congregational chanting of the holy names. And so this is Lord Chaitanya's mission. For those of you who want to know more about Lord Chaitanya and his incarnation, you'll find out everything by reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we have right here. It's the, how many volumes? 8 volumes set?
Nine volumes.
It's pure ecstasy to read about the Lord and all his pastimes. There's 3 sections. There's the first section that describes his early life and when he was born. He was born on the full moon. We've been fasting all day. It's a full moon. He was born on the full moon. There was an eclipse. So everyone went to the Ganges. And they began, because that's what people do during an eclipse in India, right? They're afraid. It's inauspicious. So Lord Chaitanya, he timed it like that. So they went to the Ganges and they're chanting, Hari, Hari.
Hari, Hari.
They're chanting the holy names of the Lord and he appears. And then it talks about his early life and his householder life. Then it talks about when he gets initiation, and then he begins the Sankirtan movement. And that, then he begins to travel and preach and convince the greatest scholars in India, the most learned people, surrendered to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that should tell us something at that time. And, you know, you can read all about these things. Only 500 years ago, written down by personal witnesses, not 60 years later or 100 years later or 200 years later, but by those people who saw that, written right down, not, you know, written down in Bengali and Sanskrit. So it's very recent, very authentic. And then this Chaitanya Charitamrita is coming down through the Parampara system of Acharyas who have added to the nectar and given their understandings of the verses. And then there's the Madhya Lila, the middle section where the Lord Chaitanya is chanting. And then there's the Antya Lila, where he spent 18 years in Jagannath Puri experiencing his ecstasies. So this is all in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we recommend, if you don't have this, that you get it. It's only $108. It's so cheap now. And keep it in your house. It's the deity of the Lord. Your house will become completely auspicious by the presence of the Lord in your house in the form of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And begin to learn about the life of the Lord and see through Shastra how is the incarnation of Krishna, and begin to worship him with this with a real Siddhanta, with a real foundation in the philosophy and the Shastras. You know, this will remove all your doubts about the Lord and Lord Krishna as an incarnation. And then when those doubts are removed, without reservation, we can chant Hare Krishna and worship the Lord. Ijo. So thank you very much for listening. It got so quiet. That's nice.